Attaboy, Cons, get your last sip in.
There we go. You too.
Improvement is the name of the game, my friend.
Not into the mic.
This week's episode of Zero Block 30 is brought to you by our friends at MyBookie. MyBookie is the place where if you want to win cash by betting games, you go there to do it. Like if you're putting money down for my beloved Jaguars against those Buffalo Bills, you might as well do it on MyBookie and bet the spread, bet the over, bet that the Jaguars are going to cover the spread, no doubt about it. We're going to take this thing home. Do it on MyBookie.ag. They're the only site that I recommend. I trust them, but you don't have to take my word for it. Check them out for yourself. They add odds on every single matchup. That includes Wild Card Weekend, which I think might be the best football weekend of the year. I think because a lot of people would say divisional round would be the best, but I think it's Wild Card because you also throw in college football's national championship on that weekend too. So you have the four games and then the national championship game. I think it's the best game or the best time of the year to be a college football fan or a football fan in general. You can bet every single one of those games on mybookie.ag. Do it today. Use the promo code zero to activate the code. You're going to get 50% bonus. So they're going to give you 50% more than you put in, which is a pretty great deal. Use mybookie.ag. Let's go.
Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the...
Well, welcome back to another edition of Zero Block 30. I'm Uncle Chaps. I'm joined by Snowden, Cons, and Snowden, Brendan. They are in the offices. I see Cons is still wearing his toboggan. How you doing, boys?
As I live and breathe, Uncle Chaps, we are hanging in there. It's been a while since we talked. I mean, we had Christmas, we had New Year's. This is the first show of the new year. A lot going to happen. A lot did happen in the time that we were gone. I'm doing well, though, and it's good to see your face again, as always. I got to tell you, though, I noticed you've been FaceTiming some other folks around the company for what reason, I don't know, but it made me realize
I
haven't
gotten any. Well, I need our conversation to be fresh. I need our post-break. I need a break.
All right.
Everybody needs a break.
That's fair.
From relationships. I don't talk to Trent and them near. I spend 50 fucking minutes or more with you every goddamn week.
That's true.
I need a break. I put in a leave chit. I mean, basically, yeah. I put in a leave chit. It was approved. So we took off from Zero Block 30.
Nah,
I didn't
good.
Really even spend much time in the group chat, which we normally do.
This is
it
true,
was
too.
Nice to kind of unplug. I mean,
yeah.
There are several days I didn't even blog, which is rare for me.
And I didn't even go off in the group chat about Army's heroic bowl victory against San Diego State, which we could talk about if you want, because it was amazing.
That's okay. I didn't even watch that.
All
I
right,
didn't watch
hardly.
I think I'm kind of over bowl games, dude. Like, I know it's kind of a hot take, a common hot take, but I really am. Like, I just don't care. I think the playoff has kind of ruined the luster. I mean, you always had your national championship
right.
game, which meant a little bit more,
mm-hmm.
but now, because the playoffs are there, I think that it just really takes the luster away from some of those lower level games.
Here's
if you don't
what's
gamble,
great, though.
If you don't gamble.
Well, yeah, if you don't gamble, but here's what's
that's
great.
True.
Obviously, if you have a rooting interest, you're going to watch a random bowl. That's very obvious. But what's great now with the internet is you'll get alerted if it's a close game in the fourth. You're like, oh, I'll throw that game on that I wouldn't normally have watched, but it's a close game and I like football. All right, we'll watch that, Beefeater Bowl, whatever.
That is true. Like
otherwise.
If I saw a lot of people tweeting about, oh, this is insane, then I would toss it on real quick,
right,
and watch the last couple minutes because that's all I really give a fuck about, anyways. How are you gonna college kickers? Like, what's gonna happen?
Seriously.
Like that. Effect.
But otherwise, we got quite a bit of snow here, and state of emergency.
So we were talking
in the Northeast.
We were talking about that. You guys got a snow day. You obviously didn't, Cons, because you were still in Manhattan for work. Brendan didn't because Barstool never sleeps. He was going to come in. He didn't want to be fired like some of the other people who didn't show up this week for work. But a lot of people in the Manhattan, or basically everybody in the Northeast, kind of got off because the snow has been so crazy. And it got us thinking. Cons said that you didn't get a military. We did get them. Like, where did you? You never really spent time in a snowy area either.
I had like one time at Fort Hood. There was a coating of snow, and I think the base was closed, if I remember correctly. But otherwise, no, we never had any sort of situation where I couldn't get to my office on post.
But you weren't in snowy climate areas either. Exactly. Like when you're on active duty, you weren't stationed anywhere that was going to be cold.
No, not at all.
Like, and I wasn't either for my first 4 years. We had typhoon days in Okinawa. So if it, there'd be like typhoon condition one or condition two. But because I was an MP, like, and I was a dog handler, I had to go in to check on the dogs. So right. It didn't, there could be 150 mile an hour winds. And it was actually really fun because I was like a young Lance Corporal. So I was one of the ones that would go out and get shitty duties. Mm-hmm. So we had this enormous field in the back of the, where the kennels were. And in that field, it was basically a wide open 3 or 4 acre field where we would train the dogs, where we would have the ability to basically shoot tennis balls out of like potato guns. So the dogs would go mm-hmm. all the way across and they could get a lot of exercise. And it was down a slope. So whenever the typhoons were coming, we would take some of the big tarps, make basically sailboats and get like things that float. We just basically do dumb junior marine shit and build us our little like boats and try to go across the kennel yard, let some of the dogs out. The dogs loved it. Like when it was windy and rainy, they would be jumping through the hoops and everything. They loved it. Typhoon days in Okinawa were dope. And our bosses let us drink. Like all the other MPs couldn't
like
drink.
While on duty?
Because we weren't allowed to go anywhere.
Okay.
Nothing could, we could go under siege and they would be like, you guys cannot leave the dogs.
Right.
Because the dogs would die. I mean, right. if we didn't, in those conditions, we got to make sure that the dogs are okay. They're like, you can drink as long as you can still take care of the dogs. So we'd have music blaring like in the windows because everything was basically made out of concrete blocks. So you weren't going to fuck up anything. And Japanese infrastructure is so amazing that, you know, like if you're watching football on DirecTV or whatever and it starts to sprinkle, you're going to lose signal.
Right.
Japan, there basically has to be, this is probably not the best word using Japan as like the example, but there probably has to be like an atomic bomb go off to make sure that there's no, to make sure that there's no cable. It never goes out. Like,
forgive
it's amazing.
Our power never insensitivities. Goes.
Should I cut that?
No, keep it in. Fuck it.
Okay.
They deserved it in 1943.
Oh, hell yeah, they did.
Or 45, whichever that was.
45, yeah, whatever.
No, but actually, now that I'm thinking about it, we did have one time we were out in the field, and we got like 6 inches of snow, but in the military, you adapt to the weather, and you drive on. So that's when people now who are like, oh, weren't you in the military? Like, why are you complaining about, you know, having a commute to New York City? Yeah, can I get into New York City as long as the transportation is running? Sure, but do I prefer that? Not exactly. Like, if you handed me an MRE right now, I'd eat it and, you know, I'd be fine and I would get sustenance. But would I prefer an MRE when I could fire up a Blue Apron meal as opposed to an MRE? You know, it's just,
not wearing Gore-Tex top and bottom with like military uniform either. Like you're going to work in suits. You still got to do like your normal shit.
Yeah. So it's just a little bit more of an annoyance. So it's not something that I like to deal with. But I will say, and this is partly the fault of the news organizations, is the hysteria that goes around. And now with this one, they named, instead of blizzard, they named it a bomb cycle for the winds and hurricane factor or what have you. I'm not a meteorologist. I don't know. But they make it always sound worse than what it will be. Now, in their defense, this one is turning out to be pretty bad. But the hysteria is what I could do without. And you even mentioned, before we jumped on, you're like, oh, you guys got some weather there? I couldn't tell from Twitter or the internet. It just gets tired.
Yeah, it definitely is tired. I mean, but I think what happens is you have a couple huge catastrophic events that take place. Like a few years ago in Houston, there was a hurricane that blew through. And they were like, oh, you guys don't really have to. It's not a mandatory evacuation. And then a day or two before it, like 24 hours before it, they were like, okay, everybody might need to buckle down because the hurricane got stronger. People were stuck on the road and died, like in traffic situations and died. So I think whenever that happened, news organizations were like, we would much rather be on the side of caution and be like, this is going to be the worst thing in the world.
Exactly.
But if you continue to do that, people are going to adapt to your mind frame, your frame of thinking, and thinking that, yeah, you're saying this is going to be the worst thing in the world, but it's not. I just don't know how people did it in like the 1800s or not even then, like 1840. Like, what the fuck did you do before you had satellites? You're just walking around one day, you come to work and there's like 40 inches of snow on the ground. You're like, well, shit.
I guess we're not plowing the field today.
Stayed home.
Yeah, no, or somebody, you know, the old man in the village, his knee started acting up, so he knew there was snow coming, something of that nature. I don't know. But
I guess the dudes that are in Sri Lanka when they get a big tsunami that comes through, and they're just, like, hanging out in the woods, and then all of a sudden a huge-ass wave's come and kills everybody because they have no idea it's coming.
Yeah. So I guess, in short, what I'm just trying to say is I would just much rather prefer to be on the safe side and the more comfortable side of staying home than sucking it up and trekking in when I don't really have to. Because if, in fact, the weathermen and weatherwomen come through and it is a bad storm, you don't want to get caught. That's the biggest thing. You don't want to get caught. My biggest thing today is I don't want to get stuck in New York City. I would.
And
like
that's why
home.
It didn't matter when you were at West Point, because you guys were there. Like, you're not going anywhere.
Buddy, there was no such thing as a snow day at West Point. I remember
you're there, dude. Everybody's there. The staff is there. They live there. Like, you were there.
Yeah, people... I had instructors who would ski from their house on post to get to classes. In 4 years, we didn't even come close to having a snow day. And there were times when we had 2, 3, 4 feet of snow. When you think about, if you look on a map where West Point is and you get that weather coming up the Hudson, and it is not good. And we get tons of snow up there and frigid temperatures, and there's just no hope. That was always the biggest thing for me in college, like seeing my friends get pumped about a snowstorm because they just knew they were going to get obliterated at the bars. And I had to sit there and just think, wow, my life sucks because no matter what, I'm still going to have to go to class.
Yeah, man. Like, and that's another reason why young troops get married, too. Because, like, for me, when I was the company gunny on Quantico, I knew for a fact that if there was, like, a dusting, an inch or two of snow on the ground, the base commander, the commanding general, is going to say, hey, non-essential personnel, you don't have to come into work. We have enough people on base to take care of the daily tasks. And that's because the commanding general doesn't want people getting wrecks and like thinking that he's going to get in trouble.
Which is
for
smart.
It. It is smart, and it's the right thing to do. Right. Like, there is no reason to put people at risk and make them drive if it's non-essential stuff. Well, when you're an MP that lives in the barracks, you are essential because you still have to maintain the security of the base. So I would just call my sergeant and the guard of like at the barracks and be like, post fucking everybody. You got to get everybody, every swinging dick out of the barracks. They're going on duty right now. And at all times, there will be no snow in front of the battalion.
Yep.
So, like, they would be these lands. I'm chilling, drinking red wine, like, at my house, like, hanging out with my daughter, not doing a goddamn thing. I end up getting an award for it for, like, taking initiative and setting things apart. It wasn't me that's dick was frozen at, like, 2 degrees outside.
Right.
I was hanging out on my next toe, like, yeah, make sure that they're going around, no snow. Put down salt and everything like in front. So whenever the next day when everybody rolls in, the snow has stopped. Our battalion was one of the only ones that was cleaned off. There was like salt on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
The battalion commander said, who's in charge? And they're like, it was staff sergeant. Like, he did everything. And I was like, I didn't do shit.
Yeah.
But I'll take your award. Like, I just told them what to do.
I mean, and we'll talk more about awards later. But what people need to remember is, with the exception of a few staff positions where you may be putting together some PowerPoints, there's no such thing as working from home in the military. You're either on post at the motor pool, in your office, or you're just not. So the fact that...
Because a lot of times you can't even get access to your email.
Exactly.
Like, if you're off the post.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you can't like, oh, I'm going to log on from my house and get onto my private military email. Nope, not happening. So snow days in the military would be.
There's not, I mean, like for your job,
right,
stateside,
yeah, yeah.
My job, stateside, there's nothing of national security important that was
not
happening.
At all.
Like, I should be able to post the barracks order like and send it to them on Facebook if I want to. Like, what difference does it make?
Right. But I think that just opens up a can of worms if you start allowing that, because then you're like, where does that stop? And
yeah, you always, you fight like you play, and even with OPSEC, like you don't do it for OPSEC reason, for operational security reasons. So then whenever guys, girls, women are deployed, they know what to do.
Right.
Yeah. So that being said, my problems then and my problems now are a lot different. My friend, I'm having trouble picking out a day bag, dude. Like, I want to have, because I've been traveling so much. I've been tweeting about it for like the last 2 days. And I just can't find a leather like satchel that I want, because when I travel quite a bit now, and I always see these dudes with these really nice soft leather bags, and I'm like, man, that's what I just have, like a old school backpack and like a little wheelie cart thing that I bring around. I want to be fancy boy with it, and I just can't find one.
No, I'm with you. I mean, aside if you're doing like a big weekend and you need luggage, you know, you need some away luggage. Promo code KFC, you definitely just need that weekend bag because, one, you're a light packer. From what I know about you, you're a light packer, so you don't really need a big bag to begin with. And two, you get to a certain point in your life and you know,
if I'm not going for longer than a week, I'm not checking a bag.
Right. And that's just efficiency. And also, too, once you get to a certain point in life, I'd say it's probably maybe when you're approaching 30, you know, certainly beyond 30, as a guy, you got to put that Nike duffel bag away and you got to graduate to a gentleman's adult bag. And I think the problem you're finding is that there's too many nice ones out there. There's too many options. It's almost a curse.
I think a big problem is that there's so much shoddy craftsmanship. Like whenever you're going through it and I'm looking at all these pictures, I'm like, that looks nice. Like the one like on Amazon, like that looks nice. And then I scroll in on the user's pictures and there's like dings in it and all that shit. And I know all the other bags going to get like scuffed up anyways, but I don't want it to come scuffed up.
No, not at all.
I want to scuff it up.
Right, right.
Like I want to be the one that puts those booty marks on it.
Puts that character
And then you're not sure how thin the leather is. You want it to be high quality because you're going to be paying like a decent price for it. So you want to make sure. I think that's the problem with shopping online all the time.
Personally, that's one of those things where, yes, I would prefer being in a mall or in a store seeing the bag up front because I agree with you. It is something I think that you want to spend money on. Certain things, you know, like I don't want to like blow too much money because I'm just going to have to replace it anyway. You get yourself a nice bag, that thing's going to last you a long time.
And there's a couple things that I really like. I would spend money on. I think a bag is approaching that. Golf clubs.
Yep.
I would spend a decent amount on golf clubs. Headphones are one for me for sure because I really like high quality audio. Really anything that's like technology related, like you're going, I think you spend a little bit more, you're going to get more. Like, you can go buy a Chromebook for like $200, but that fucker's going to be broken in like 2 weeks. You don't want to do that.
Right.
I just need a nice bag, man.
Well, as I tweeted at you, I'm happy to help you and give you some names of some brands that you should, in my opinion, look into. Because, like I said, it's worth spending the money. And if you have it and you're willing, and I always recommend getting that bad boy monogram because that just kicks it up a notch, makes you look sharp. So
yeah, I think that's a geolocational difference between us because whenever I see monogram stuff, I just assume you're in a sorority.
I feel like monogramming is very big down south, but yes, certainly in the sorority
and
fraternity world.
I think it's a Southern women's sorority thing. I mean, I know that that thing that happens in fraternities too, like maybe up north, but like down south, like monogram stuff.
Well, you know what? I think overall, it's a very preppy thing to do. So I think you see that in a lot in the Northeast.
And
too.
Maybe I just didn't have those type of dudes as friends whenever I was younger, and now I do. Well, yeah. I like to see that you have your Yeti cups with your initials on them.
Yeah.
One thing I am worried about with the leather bag, though, is getting wet. Like, I'm worried about, like, being out and getting stuck, which I shouldn't be because Marines are amphibious.
Mm.
You see, this is a transition of where I'm going.
That's called
Recently, the Marine Corps announced that they are going to adjust the cutting scores. Now, I'll explain what a cutting score is. For young enlisted dudes, they have what's called a cutting score for them to get promoted.
Mm-hmm.
You can have, in your cutting score, you're going to have your rifle score. You're going to have your PFT. You're going to have your basic skills test. You're going to have your pros and cons, your proficiency and conduct, like basically how you've acted for the last 6 months or a year, depending on what rank you are. So if you do well at work, you're going to have a higher cutting score, lower. Well, they're adding the swim because it had been where you just qualify. Like if you qualify for swim, like there's four levels. There's level four, level three, level two, level one. And if you just basically pass level four, you are good. Now, if you finished higher and you were going on boards, like if you're a level two swimmer or a level one swimmer, then that looked good if you're going on like NCO of the quarter to be a Marine of the quarter, a soldier of the quarter, whatever little thing that you want to do for like battalion level. It looked good, but it didn't really do anything for you. Now they're making it more important because a lot of Marines, they knew that they weren't going to go on a board because you know if you're a board Marine or you're a board sailor or whatever, and you know if you're not. So why are you going to put yourself through that physical hell? Because getting a level one swim qual is a bitch. Like it really is a bitch. And
what all
if
goes
it doesn't
into
do
it?
Anything, let me Google it real quick. But if you're gonna do that, you might as well get something out of it. And
sure.
I think this helps them get that out.
Right. No, yeah, absolutely. And you got to think about, certainly with promotions, as you are promoted in the military, just by default, you should be more qualified than the soldiers and Marines, sailors and airmen that you command. So it just stands to reason that I don't have an issue with them needing to be higher qualified, especially with swimming. When you think about Marines and Navy, especially in the Coast Guard, anytime you're around water, you would think, all right, let's make sure all these guys can swim. Not even survival swimming, but a little better than a normal person can swim. And it's shocking to me. I don't understand when people say, oh, I can't swim. That doesn't compute in my brain. I just don't know how that is. It's not a hard thing to do. You know, we're buoyant creatures, and you don't have to do too much to swim properly or even, you know, better than drowning.
I think a lot of it is, like, how you were raised and where you were raised.
That's true,
at.
Too. No, that's true, too. If you're raised in, you know, the big city urban area and your swimming consisted of opening up a fire hydrant, yeah, I understand how it just doesn't come as easily to you, but I feel like there's just certain things. Like, no one ever had to teach you how to run, chaps. I feel like swimming is one rung below that, where there's not much to it, so just about anybody should be able to do it. So, like I said, it doesn't compute for me when I hear that people can't swim.
Yeah, I actually read a pretty big article about that, because there's always been stereotypes that, like, black people can't swim.
Right.
And I read this huge research paper about it, and the information behind it was, like, pretty fascinating. The reasons why that was, because it's like institutionalized fear. Like, if your parents are scared of something, then you're likely going to be scared of it. And it's generational and passed mm-hmm. down, because a lot of times, especially in the South, one, you weren't swimming in rivers because the alligator threat used to be a lot more than it is now. Mm-hmm. So people weren't swimming in rivers. So most of the people that were swimming in pools. And if you grew up in the Black South, for example, there wasn't nearly as many pools for colored people as there were for whites, like whenever Jim Crow laws were going on. So that really established a culture of fear of water, because their parents couldn't do it, and it just passed down. It was pretty fascinating to read,
makes
like
sense.
Why that took place.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
And that was talking Jim Crow laws. So the first class water qual, on its face, it doesn't really sound pretty intense, but you usually do it back to back. So here we go. You have to do a rescue stroke of 25 meters. And now, granted, this is all wearing full black, full Kevlar, boots, trousers, blouse, and a combat load.
Okay.
For doing this.
Okay.
You're 25 meters of a rescue stroke, a breaststroke, a side stroke, an elementary school. You have to travel 250 meters using a combination of those strokes. You have to tread water for up to 45 minutes in that gear. So you're allowed to take your pants off and turn it into a flotation device. Mm-hmm. You have to simulate a towing of somebody else. You have to rescue somebody else, basically. You have to do a side swipe of somebody across the pool, all the way across the pool, double armpit level, and then you have to do simulated oil spill with it being set on fire, where you can only come up for like a second or two at a time.
Interesting. Yeah, no, I mean, and those are also things that nobody really grows up doing. I had to take a survival swimming class, and I had never taken off my pants and made a flotation device around my neck to help me float. I'd never done that before. But, and if you do them all back-to-back like that, I could see how it could pose a little bit of a challenge, or more of a challenge,
so,
depending on your ability.
In the past, that's what it was to be a swim qual level one. There, now remember, like, for basic qualifications, there's no difference of what you do if you're one or four.
Mm-hmm.
So are you going to put yourself through that willingly just to have the status of being a level one swimmer?
Nope.
When at the very beginning, you could just do 25 meters in shallow water using the beginner stroke, jump off of a platform wearing utilities, exit the water of the side of the pool after swimming 25 meters in the beginning stroke, and then tread water for 4 minutes. So they're like, oh, do you want to add another 41 minutes onto your tread time,
yeah,
or do you want to get out after four?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a pretty no-brainer.
Yeah, because you could tell me. No one looks around when they're in the Marines and says, oh, look at that guy. He's a level one qual swimmer.
Right, and we don't wear stuff on our gaming utilities anyway.
We don't even know.
Makes no sense. But yeah. I think it's a good decision to make them do it.
No, I agree.
The more stuff you can put in for promotion, it makes people work harder. And
right, and that's what I'm saying. Ultimately, you get a better product, you get a better NCO core, and everybody wins when that's the case.
Everybody also wins whenever they have a full head of hair. And if you don't have a full head of hair, my friend, you can use Hims. I haven't got a haircut. Check this out. I haven't got a haircut in like weeks.
That's pretty long for you, pal.
Most lettuce I've had in a long time.
It's looking stylish, though, and I must say.
Yeah, they sent me the stuff. And I think it's legit working. Like, I'm noticing my hair is becoming more and more full because I've been using 4 Hims. It's been pretty good, man. It's New Year's. It's time to work on yourself. Whether you're getting yourself a new fancy boy bag or you're getting yourself some fancy boy hair, do it with 4 Hims. I don't know if they sell bags, so that probably wasn't the most accurate of reads. But it's 2018. It's time to reach out with your hands and put them on your head. How much hair are you holding right now? 66% of men lose their hairs by the age of 35. That's true. That's me. I was 35. I was really starting to lose my hair. I resolved not to be that guy, and who doesn't want to keep their hair? What kind of physical impression do you want to make in 2018? Do you want to be a bald bitch like LeBron, or do you want a full head of lettuce like Tom Brady whenever you get older? How do you want to take care of yourself in 2017? You didn't do a very good job in 2017 if you're like me. We're going to start working out again on the podcast. We're going to start getting back into shape. It's going to feel good. I think all of us are going to do it. Even young Brendan's going to be on board.
Yeah, I've been going to the gym. I hit the gym 5 times over the break. I actually went last night because I knew it was going to be a dreadful today, so I'm on that grind.
Attaboy. The listeners, you are going to get $5 off today for Wild Supplies Last by going to 4hims. That's forhims.com/0. 4hims.com/0. We are going to get a month trial off of everything that you need to keep for your hair for just $5 today. And that's Wild Supplies Last. See the website for full details. This would cost you hundreds of dollars if you went to the pharmacy. Don't do that. Don't spend hundreds of dollars at the pharmacy. Go with 4hims. It's going to be great.
Let me ask you real quick before you get into whatever it is you were about to say. I mean, with this 4hims stuff, have you noticed that Mrs. Chaps, who also made her podcasting debut, am I right in saying that she made her podcasting debut?
Go back and listen
this
to
week?
That on Podfathers. Yeah, my wife was on there.
She was great. Have you noticed that after using the 4hims product, she is just approaching you more and more, despite the fact that you're already married?
I have not. No. I have not noticed that. But
I thought she might, just because it's the lettuce and the flow is looking strong. So I thought she might be.
It is.
If you go through Chap's Twitter feed, it's hard to approach him more than she already does.
This is true.
Yeah, we have a pretty healthy life.
That's good.
In that regard.
So anyway, what were you going to say? I'm sorry. Over the break.
You own a home in Texas, right?
I do own a home in Texas, just outside Fort Hood, yes.
Do you own your house in New York? Or
no,
in
I just
New Jersey
ran.
Or?
I just ran a spot in Hoboken.
So whenever you buy a home, I don't know if a lot of our listeners know, with the VA, they for some reason you get attached to like this VA database of basically it's almost like fraud, like mm-hmm. where they call you all the time and it makes it sound really legit because they will have all these, like for instance, if you're gonna buy a GoPro, like if you go on Amazon, you could probably find a similar device. It's called like Going Professional, and it's the same type of thing. So it's a very close title, and there's a lot of companies out there that are using this to target military veterans. And it's not just phone calls, but it's like letters. I constantly get things that are like, you need to refinance this with your...
I get those all the time.
And it looks like legit military paperwork, and I could see how... If you're not like really up to date and you're not like pretty discerning about what you get, how you could get sucked in because you get shit all the time. And I would get phone calls where they'd be like, is this staff sergeant, blah, 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 blah. We need you to call in because something's wrong with your VA payment. And you call in and you would call back because that's nerve wracking.
Sure.
Like it's like the VA is so convoluted that could be a thing that really happens.
Yeah, very well could be a thing.
So veterans are getting targeted, and they recently passed that they are going to try to make that against the law for these type of companies and really go after them. And they should be, because it's really fucked up, man, because I think it really screws over a lot of veterans. And they get their credit score jacked up. They end up getting higher interest rate than they normally would because they don't know. Like, one thing that we don't do a good job of in the military is teaching troops how to appropriately use the VA when they get out. And guys, women who are getting out of the military don't give a shit about the getting out classes. It's just a check in the box that you want to do. Mm-hmm. I wish that you could go back and be like, pay attention, you dumb motherfucker, like to yourself whenever you were getting out.
Like at the NFL Combine when they have the older players come and talk to these, you know, about to be rookies about managing their money and staying out of trouble. We really need something like that, I think, in the military. We need somebody who has been removed 5-10 years to say, hey, listen, I know you think this is just a bunch of BS and a class you got to sit through, but pay attention because it's important. Because these scams happen all the time and, you know, screw these people who are willing to rip off veterans. They're just a whole other deplorable part of our population altogether. But it's just unfortunate that it happens and it's going to continue to happen because it's an easy way to get money for these people.
Yeah, and if you're a vet who's listening, like, if you're not sure, call somebody. There's plenty of organizations that are out there that will try to help you out. Or if you want to, email me and Cons. We'll help you out. If you have like questions that come up about stuff like that, hit us up. We'd love to help you out with that. We'd also love to help you out, fill out your paperwork for the VA accurately, not like a young buck did, or an old buck, I guess.
Very old, yeah, at this point.
So this Vietnam vet, this is an insane story. 69 years old, nice.
Nice.
Stephen Douglas, he claimed on his DDD-214, whenever he was going and getting an interview with a newspaper in Tennessee, he claimed, this is what he claimed, all right. So,
take a seat.
Unbelievable, yeah. He claimed that he had a silver star. A silver star is pretty fucking high up there. A bronze star, pretty high up there. And these are all with Valor devices, by the way. Mm-hmm. That he was a prisoner of war in Vietnam. And that he had, and now this is the mind-blowing fact. Because you could get around, like, there could very well be a silver star recipient that Connor and I have no idea what their name is.
Sure.
There sure as shit are hundreds of bronze star recipients that I don't know who they are. You have 9 Purple Hearts, though. We probably
that's raising a few eyebrows.
9. I mean, that's not like when 50 Cent got shot 6 times, right? If he was in the military, he wouldn't get 6 Purple Hearts. You
get
1
that
because that's one. Otherwise, Kyle Carpenter would have like 50 because his entire body was fucked up.
Yeah.
So, I mean, 9 Purple Hearts. That's 9 separate engagements that you would have to be in, not battles or anything, but 9 separate engagements that you would have to be in.
That's
an outrageous claim.
It's problematic because it's not like he's saying he had 2. Like, maybe 2 is something you could skate by in life and no one's really going to question. 1, certainly no one's going to question. I don't think, Chaps, has anyone ever questioned that you were awarded a Purple Heart?
Actually, yes.
Yeah.
When I got interviewed by Fox Sports, and I give credit to their editor for this, the editor on the news side probably got fired because they don't do any blogging anymore, which helps me out, so I don't really give a shit about that. But he asked me for my DD-214, the day that I got shot, and because there's a National Purple Heart database.
Right.
He was like, all right, I need your real name, the last 4 of your social security number, and the day that you got shot so I could check the Purple Heart database before we post that.
Right.
I was like, man, that's actually really good because you can't take it.
Well, see, the problem with this gentleman is he had multiple, as I read it, he had multiple DD-214s. Some of them confirmed what he was saying. Some of them could not be found. But the most troubling thing and the biggest red flag is that no one would ever say the nomenclature was off. No one would ever say they had 9 Purple Hearts. When you receive an award multiple times, you get what's called bronze oak leaf clusters and silver oak leaf clusters. So that way you don't have the same flag on your uniform, 3, 4, 5, or in this case, 9 different times. You just have...
Wait, did he wear 9 separate?
No. He didn't wear 9 separate on his uniform.
That is
crazy.
When he
told people, he told them he had 9 Purple Hearts as opposed to a Purple Heart with a silver oak leaf cluster and 2 bronze star oak leaf clusters.
Actually, I don't know. If you told me that you had 6 Army Commendation Medals, I wouldn't be like, Con, shouldn't you be saying that you have an oak leaf cluster?
Right, no, but like, I think it was the way I read it. It was in writing the way he put it on the DD-214 that it was 9 as opposed on the DD-214 you would have the oak leaf clusters. I believe. I think
it actually says times. Like, I think it says times whatever because
I'd have to go look at mine. I'd have to go look at mine
because I have a couple that I have several of, and I think it says like times three, like on it.
Maybe it does. You might be right. I haven't looked at my DD214. There's a few that I've had multiple.
Either way, yeah. Nine purple
yeah,
hearts.
Yeah, ridiculous. We're getting into semantics here.
That rings a bell. Like, that's probably not true.
Right.
And the difference is, if you have, even if it comes out that he has one, like, what's wrong with just having one? Like, having
right?
one, like, is like people still respect you for, or having none. Like, just having served.
Having served, I think that's, period.
I think that's one thing that we talk about all the time, that I get so sick of people talking about adjectives about how they served. I'm a combat veteran. I'm a blah, blah, blah. I don't give a shit, dude. If you're a veteran, that's all that matters to me.
Right.
Like, I don't care if you have all these other adjectives describe your service. Like, I hear constantly my buddy saying, I'm a combat Marine. What the fuck does that even mean? Like, you're a Marine, dude. Like, you don't need
well,
to
I think that's
add
just
that
a product.
Adjective.
That's a product of our society and, you know, constantly trying to measure up to everybody else and keep up with the Joneses that people, and in, you know, in your opinion, and I would agree with your opinion, wrongly feel the need to justify what they've done because they feel as though, especially now, if you don't announce that you were a combat Marine, as you stated, that you're somehow lesser of a Marine. Which is just isn't true because you still signed up, you still served, and we've all had different journeys on our path during our military careers. So you shouldn't have to justify that by saying how you served, where you served, and you certainly don't need to go around telling people you have nine purple hearts. What do you think? What's going through this guy's head? What is he trying to accomplish by telling people he has nine purple hearts?
I think that people just get kind of addicted to the attention that comes across because he was going out places and giving speeches and
right.
I think that it's a sense of self-importance. I think we talked about that in a very early episode, which is why I'm not a big fan of people blasting out on Stolen Valor dudes who are obviously young kids who are wearing like the rank of colonel or like they're going in and trying to get a free donut from Dunkin' Donut. Like to scream at those people in public, in my opinion, to be one of those people, you have to have some severe mental issues anyway,
right.
Like to have that level where you need approval from other people that bad that you're willing to do that. I don't think that you need to scream at them. And I do think that there's a huge difference from you claiming to have a certain amount of awards when you don't have them versus you are defrauding the state of Texas. Because if in Texas, if you have a purple heart or not a purple heart, but if you're like 100% disabled, you don't pay land taxes.
Mm.
Like if you have the disability rating from the VA of 100%, you don't pay land taxes. And that can come out to a lot of money. So
sure.
If you're defrauding the government, I think that's a different issue than being like, I'm going to get a free donut from
sure.
Dunkin' Donuts.
Sure. But also too, how do you say you have nine? Like, don't you think at some point, a lot of other people that have served in the military are going to be like, what are you talking about? At no point is that not going to raise eyebrows for anybody who's at any sort of service. And I'd go so far as to say that most civilians wouldn't even think nine is a reasonable number of Purple Hearts to have been awarded.
It's a lie that a child would make.
Yeah, like, exactly.
There was I think my daughter was in like the first grade and her bus is like one street over in my neighborhood. I live in a safe neighborhood, so she would walk to the bus stop by herself. Well, she came home from school one day with a huge chunk missing out of her bangs. And like it was just like a line straight across.
This is Kelsey or McCartney?
It was Kelsey.
Okay.
And I was like, Kelsey, what the fuck are you doing? Like, what's wrong with your face? Why is your hair screwed up? And she was like, what do you mean, Daddy? And I was like, why is there a cut in your hair? Why did you cut your hair? She's like, oh, this morning I was standing at the bus stop and I went under a branch and it cut my hair. I was like, where is this tree with razor blades?
Show me. Show me.
We need to get it out of the neighborhood.
That's dangerous.
And I was like, that is the type of thing that you say when you guys have nine. How many purple hearts do you have? I have, I don't know, fucking nine, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, nine is just so stupid.
Yeah. Bold move. Bold move, Cotton. We'll see how it plays out. But I just, hopefully that gentleman has been approached by the right people and it will learn his lesson going forward, but who knows? But like you said, someone like that that's willing to make up that lie probably has a lot more that's going on for them, so I don't know.
But when you're 7 years old and making that lie, like,
sure.
Oh, I mean, Jesus, dude. It's just not worth it. Like, that kind of thing's just not. And if he didn't do anything that really, like, gets him attention or anywhere, I think the shame is enough. I think that
right.
Sometimes the shame of having that is enough. I'm not one that thinks, like, if you fake having a silver star or bronze star that you need to go to jail. Like, I think that's a little overkill. The public shame is enough.
Exactly. Exactly.
And there should be a lot of public shame involved in that.
I would agree. Certainly.
You have a soldier story that you want to shout out for our Badass of the Week. You want to do that?
Yeah, bringing back Badass of the Week, and we got a pretty good one for 2018, and I'll actually ask Radio Brendan to assist here with this and read briefly what this soldier did.
So this happened in the Bronx, so right in our neck of the woods here in New York, but PFC Emmanuel Mensa, who's 28 years old, he saved multiple people. He went back into a burning building three times to rescue his families and other residents before ultimately succumbing to the flames. According to detectives assigned to the New York Police Department's 48th Precinct, he was a first-generation immigrant, a soldier, and a New Yorker, and he gave his life for saved people, which is very commendable.
I think he's
from Ghana.
He's from Ghana.
That's just impressive. To run into a burning building, you know, you gotta give a lot of credit to firefighters. But even with firefighters, they have masks, they have uniforms that are fire retardant. You just run into a building with just
training
clothes on your
to do
back.
That.
Yeah, that's just unbelievable and heroic. And I was just
Over and over again.
Yeah, not just once. Like, all right, somebody was close by the door. Let me pop in here, grab that person, and go out. To go in multiple times to a death trap, essentially, is courage that is not common in many folks. So, unbelievable show of courage and heroism by that young soldier.
No doubt about it. Any save rounds, alibis?
Just looking forward to 2018. I think we've been tossing around some really cool ideas.
We're getting into shape cons?
Oh, yeah. No. I mean, here's my thing, man. Like, I would never say I've been like out of shape. There's just different levels of shape that I've been in, and I'm currently at one of those levels that is not great. Stepped on a scale the other day. That number that was staring back at me was not great. And then I made the mistake of looking at pictures from 2008, 2009, from starting my deployment and the end of my deployment, and that made me feel worse. So
yeah, that's always bad.
Yeah, I really got to reel it in. I got to get rid of, you know, some of this holiday weight would be an understatement, because I think it's been weight that's been attacking me since tailgate season. So we'll get it right. We'll get it.
Yeah, I'm feeling real chubby too. So I'm going to get back into shape. When I started working at Barstool, I was ripped.
Yeah.
Now I'm not.
Yeah.
So I got to get back in that.
And if you want to shame me, feel free. I did rip a pair of pants this morning. Hand up. I put on a pair of pants. I sat down to put my boots on.
Not your
on.
Fault. You wear tight pants. So
that's
it's not your
true.
Fault.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. You don't have a lot of wiggle room.
Yeah.
Said.
So I go a little bit over, and I'm in deep shit. But yeah. So we'll get it right. We'll get it tight in 2018.
There we go. Down the retreat.